Jesus, I greet you in that name that is above every other name. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one that is over all, and in Him we live and move and have our being. And yeah, I greet you from the state of Nebraska, specifically the city of Lincoln. Getting a good chance to stop back and see some family here, which is always a blessing, always a treat. And just a quick word. You know, I was going to leave certain things alone, but alas, you know, what happens with these things is they just start stirring inside, and then you get to a certain spot where you just got to do something with it. And always the Spirit of God takes over, and you know, a lot of times I'll end up listening to these words myself, because I'm just grateful that God speaks through, and a lot of times I need to hear the same word that goes forth. But you know, I keep seeing it more and more as we go forward, just how what we do as we walk in Christ Jesus, and as we walk in the freedom that Christ has set us free in, how there are many, many, many people that are stuck in bondage. And rather than choosing to be free, they want to bring you back into bondage, and they want to bring you into specifically their bondage. You know, in the book of Galatians, you know, we get a case in point where when Paul is writing to the Galatians, you know, he said in verse 5, Galatians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "To whom be glory forever and ever, amen," speaking of Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which you have preached, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Okay, and it goes on. Now, here's the thing. I marvel, verse 6, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay, here's the thing. The bondage that people are in the world, as soon as somebody starts to get free, the moment that you start to walk out of that system, everything in their system gets activated to try to bring you back. And what happens sometimes too is, and this is a trap that has caught many well-intentioned, well-meaning people, is they exchange one bondage for another. They exchange one system for another, but they still are remaining slaves. They just are in a new paradigm. So a lot of people, and they go for it. A lot of people go for it because it's familiar. And, you know, within the church, for example, we've seen that point blank, where what by and large is happening in there is rather than people receiving the gospel and the truth and being set free in Christ, so that they can walk out their lives with Him and do that which God has called them to do, and learning to trust the way that the Spirit of God speaks to them, and learning to discern His voice, and learning to rightly divide the Scriptures, and learning to understand that it is a way, it is not a religion, but it is a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is a way, he's not a religion. He's a spiritual direction where you point your spirit towards the Father and you begin to walk towards him. And as you walk in that direction, and as you're moving in that way, that God takes you from glory to glory and from strength to strength, as compared to what the world tries to do. And the world does this thing called bait and switch, where they have a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. Now, Jesus encountered that so many times in his time in the earth, the form of godliness that denied the power thereof. And there's a lot of things that Jesus would do specifically to mess with their system. So whenever it was that he came up against these man-made rituals, man-made teachings, man-made rules and regulations that had nothing to do with the freedom that they had in God, the truth, that had only to do with them perpetuating a religious system and a religious structure, that God was not, that was not him. There was a false representation of him. So what Jesus would do is he would deliberately mess with it. He would deliberately mess with their traditions. And when the power of God would back him up, when that would show that he was indeed speaking that which the Father spoke, because he was one with the Father, he was the Word made flesh. So when Jesus would do what he would see the Father doing, as he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And why is that? Because he and the Father are one. But as Jesus went about doing those things, part of also what he did was expose the lie, expose the deception, expose the falsity. And one of the ways that he would go about doing that is by directly messing with it. For example, Jesus loved to heal people on the Sabbath day. Loved to heal people on the Sabbath day. And one of the reasons for doing that was because whenever he would heal somebody on the Sabbath, he would show that, and the power of God would show that the system and the tradition that they had set up, which literally they went nuts when one guy that he healed picked up his mat and walked, and they're like, well, who told you could carry your mat? But because they were more concerned about him carrying a mat than this guy that had been for four decades lame and crippled, than him being healed. They didn't care about that. They cared about him carrying a mat. And Jesus specifically told the guy, pick up your mat and walk for one reason only, to mess with them. And see, here's the thing. I personally, at this stage, I enjoy messing with these religious systems. I enjoy showing the falsity and the falsehood of that which people have been sold into and switched into. I enjoy exposing those things. I enjoy exposing the bankrupt spiritual nature of that which so many people have set up, calling it God, and God is not in it. And I enjoy exposing that. That's part of what we do. And as we live out the lives that God has for us to do, and we live them out openly, and we live them out plainly, and we live them out with all of our flaws and everything else, but we walk with him, chosen by him to do his will. And as we do that, I know it ticks people off. And I've seen this. I've seen this time and time and time again. And you know what? It's good. It's good that it makes them mad. Because here's why. It is revealing and showing that there's no peace in them. There's no truth that's settled in them. Not a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, which is what they're in right now. But rather than that, truth. See, truth sets you free. Truth brings you to a place of peace. Because see, when you align yourself with truth, then there is nothing else to have to set after that point. Once you've aligned yourself with the truth, then truth is true. And there's a stillness that happens because now there's nothing more that needs to be decided. There's nothing more that needs to be said. You are in the place of that which is eternally real, that which is eternally unchangeable. And peace comes with that too. See, the reason that people shoot and fight and devour and get mad and get upset and do all these crazy things and have to try to get you to buy into their falsehoods is because there's no peace in them. And they think that if they can just get you to validate them, that they're going to be okay, and it doesn't work like that. See, you can't build a church big enough to get to that place where things will finally settle in your soul. You can't. It's not going to work. You know, set the people free. Tell the people the truth. It's okay. You know, God'll take care of you, but you got to get on His page. But too often people, they need to get a following. They need to get people. Listen, here, all right. If you guys don't tune in here ever again, absolutely fine. No problem, no issue. Thank God that you received something out of this during the time that you did. Great, fantastic. But whether you guys tune in or you don't, either way, we still love you. Either way, we'll do what God has for us to do here. And that's it. It's out there. It's freely we receive, freely we give. That's the way it was meant to be. And we were supposed to bless each other in the name of the Lord. But that desire that people have that's so deep inside that bondage they live in to want to control and want to affect and want to try to manipulate and want to try to get in somehow. My hope is that that people would see what it is that they are still stuck in. Because it's really obvious. When you live in the light, it's very obvious. And the bondage that people have lived in for their entire lives, listen, if you continue to do something the same way you've always done it, you're going to end up in the same place continually, over and over and over again. So, isn't it a good time to say, maybe things should shift. Maybe things should change. And along those same lines, just again as a public service announcement, shooting at me or trying to attack the guys that are part of Faith Mix or doing anything like that, it's not going to bring you peace. It's not. It's not. All it's going to do is it's just going to reveal where you are and the bankrupt nature of your walk. So, you know, but it doesn't have to be like that. If you will come to Christ in honesty and in truth, there's a prayer that we learned to pray, which was a blessing. And part of that prayer was, Lord God, if I'm missing it, please lead me, guide me, teach me, show me. If I'm off, please you show me. And speak to my spirit and let me know. Amen. And if you're honest about that, God will speak to you and course correct you when you need to be course corrected. But He will do that in you. This desire that people have to control it's a perversion. And the more that I see it, the more I feel pity for people that have chosen to live that way, because it's not going to take them anywhere. they will spend their lives seeking to deceive and continually being deceived. Rather know, just know, that freedom is available in Christ. And, you know, He made the way, and it's very, very simple. And it's just, you line your life up with Him, you bow your knee before the King of Kings, you say, Lord, Your will be done, and whatever it is that He says, you go with it. Now, if you can honestly do that, and you allow for other people to do the same, then you leave it, and you let people live, and you let people work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. Because you leave room for the Spirit of God to speak to them. You know, I look back on my own life and I think about the times where I've been off on things and God has spoken to me. His own way, He has spoken to me and He has shown me. And He has, of course, corrected me. And I'm grateful for that because I learned in the process how to trust Him and how to walk with Him and how to live out the abundant life that He intended that I would live. And I'm grateful for the adventure. Likewise, though, too, I've also seen how people that have sought to work their way in, because see here, when you walk in the truth and you walk in the light, people will be drawn to that light in you. They'll be drawn to that hope that is in you. In part because, you know, the light draws. But the thing is when there's not, when the desire in them is perverted and the desire is to want to try to control or to manipulate or to try to get you to do something, then it's a twisted thing. And but in the past, when I've, you know, all of us have learned as we've continued to walk. And but in the naive states where we didn't necessarily understand what people were doing or what they were trying to do or their agendas or their goals, you know, it cost us time, it cost us resource, it cost us energy, it cost us effort. You know, we've had our hurts that have been a result of that. The times where I've been in my own life at a place of incredible peace have been when I've just trusted God, heard His voice, and walked out whatever it is that He told me to do. And in those times, in those seasons, in those places, no matter how difficult the circumstances were externally, I've been in incredible peace. And it is the places in my life where I look back and the inroads of people with a vested interest or an agenda, when I entertain those were the times where, you know, things were not what they should be. Now, as you go through life, there's going to always be people around you like that. But we've talked about this in the past of how you handle the circles of relationships in your life, just like Jesus did. You know, Jesus, I mean, He demonstrated it in His life while He was here on the earth. He had the multitudes following Him. There was thousands upon thousands that were following Him wherever He went. But within that, He went up on the mountain, made a decision, selected 12. Well, actually, there was the 70, the 72, but He selected the 12. Among the 12, there was the 3, and within the 3, there was even 1. And, you know, within those circles that He established, He also established levels of communication, levels of how much He would disclose of where He was at and what was going on with Him, and levels of His investment. And of His time and His energy and what He would do and what He would teach and how much of His life and His experience He would share with them. So even when He was in the garden, He went in there with the 12, but He took Peter, James, and John a little bit further with Him to pray. You know, And, you know, even at the Last Supper, Peter, who was among the three, you know, when he wanted to know who would betray him, when he wanted to know who would betray Jesus, and he leaned over and nudged John, and he said, all right, ask him who it's going to be. Because he knew that John would, that Jesus would make it known to John. So, you know, the thing is Jesus showed how to establish those lines and those circles of who's going to be involved in your life. And that's an element of good stewardship over our lives. You know, we need to be good stewards over our lives, over our time, and over the people that get close to us. So make wise decisions. Make wise choices. You can minister to people. You can be a blessing to people. But they also don't have to be close to the core of your life. And it's funny to me sometimes when, and there's some people, specifically people overseas, not in the U.S. right now, but I can just see this seething nature, their desire just to want to get in close and just to want to be there and be part of your life and force themselves in there. And it's not going to ever happen. Because we've learned. God has given us wisdom. God's given us power. God's exposed the games as they've gone on. But the irony is they just can't walk away. Because there's no light in them. So they walk away. They walk away into darkness. So they keep coming back over and over and over again. So my prayer for those people is just that God would open their eyes and would save them. But at the same time, that we would always have wisdom in dealing with them and wisdom in handling them. Because, frankly, you know, we have zero desire to lose any sleep over those that have chosen a path that they didn't have to go. Because the path of truth has been made, and it is there, and it's available. So, you know, rather than envying those that walk on it and trying to bring them under your thumb and crush them and do all that, rather, don't hate. Appreciate. Appreciate what God has done in them. Appreciate what God's done in us. And bless us in Jesus' name. Bless each other in Jesus' name. And just, hey, if you got a question about something, just pray and leave it before God. And let Him sort it out. That's what we do with those people too. We're like, Lord, here. You see it, you know. You know, we know what You've shown us about them. So, Lord God, please, just You, we leave this situation in Your hands. See, also Jesus told us that too. You know, that's been in His Word. He said not being, for Jesus said that in this life you're going to have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. You know, Paul wrote along the same lines, to be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, to make a request known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts. And it guards our minds as we trust in Christ. So, you know, with these things that come up, and they will come up, because, hey, we live in a world where the wheat and tares grow together. Light and dark coexist. So that being the case, because we know that, just have stewardship over your life. Trust the way that God speaks to you. There's something that you're not quite sure about. Put it before the Father and leave it there. And move on. Let people live their lives. Let people live their human experiences. Now, the place sometimes where we do need to intervene and we do need to speak up and get involved is when, you know, people are being hurt by the actions of others. Specifically with children, you know, that's something where, you know, they've not even had a chance to make a decision, to make choice, and they're being destroyed. And Jesus had some harsh words to say about that. You know, Jesus said, look, if you would if you would turn away one of these little ones from the Father, if you would hurt one of these, essentially, you know, it's better for you that a millstone is tied around your neck and you drown at the bottom of the ocean. So Jesus didn't have much positive to say about what would be the modern-day pedophile, or the modern-day destroyer of kids, or the child abuser. So, you know, there is a place for a stance for truth, and we do stand for things that need to be done in the earth. We do stand for that which is right and true and real. So pick your battles, brothers and sisters. There are things that need to be spoken about. There are things that need to be said. There are things that we should engage our time in. And that's one of the reasons why the enemy works hard to try to get us involved in things that really don't mean anything, to try to get us involved in skirmishes and fights and trying to defend ourselves when there's really nothing to defend. Truth is true. So, you know, if you're aligned with truth, there's nothing to defend. The truth defends itself. The truth will never change. So, you know, for us, we just walk in that truth and we live it. But God has actual places where He wants us to engage. He has actual things that He has for us to do. He has a work and an assignment for us. And rather than focusing our time and our energy on that which is frivolous and wasteful, focus our time, our energies, our prayers, that which God has for us to do, on that which is our actual assignment and that which God has, intends for us. See, this is important because, all right, think about it from a military standpoint. If you are a general of another army, excuse me, if you can get the other side to waste their time, waste their energy, waste their efforts on something that's not the battle at hand, it will enable you to get an advantage. And the enemy does that with followers of Christ all the time. He tries to get us involved in all kinds of things that really are not what God's intention is for us. And you have to recognize that scheme is there. You have to recognize that this is part of what the enemy does. So when this begins to crop up again and again and again, what is necessary is to not go down those paths, to nip those things in the bud, and to focus your energies on that which God has for you. One of the ways that you do that is when you recognize the schemes that the enemy is using, deal with them and deal with them quickly. You know, recently there were two different people that, you know, were trying to get inroads into my life. And personally for me, I just had to cut them off once I realized that these were people that, you know, whatever help and support that needed to be done for them, and had only been a blessing to them, but they were trying to form codependent relationships, and that's not going to happen. So, very quick, very surgical, cut those things off. Why? Because God wants us to be poured out, not to be drained off. And there's a difference. The Spirit of God fills and floods our lives, and God intends that we would be poured out as He directs for us to be poured out. Not that we would be filled by His Spirit only to have parasites and seeking suckers and spiritual ticks suck the life out of us. And many of those ones are in the Christian circles, by the way. So we do what we do with any parasite. We cut it off. We crush the head of the tick. We just deal with it. Deal with it quick. We don't let a parasite remain. We deal with it fast. And that's one of the best things you can do for those things. Because, you know, with a person, when you cut them off, they no longer can live off of the life that's flowing through you. And so what happens is they realize there's no life in them, and they're actually dead, and then that's when they actually ask the questions that need to be asked. But as long as they can drain life off of you, then you are supporting that that wrong life narrative for them. So rather than that, in Jesus' name, just deal with those things quickly and move on. Because God has work for us to do. But the work that He has for us to do, it needs to be aligned with Him. And God wants the Spirit of God to be poured and flow through you into that. And there can be peace and there can be rest in that which we do as God has quickened us and called us for such a time as this. So, yeah, just want to touch base with you guys. And God is always gives us that opportunity. So, but only when He gives us a word to say. So just a little quick something as we travel to and fro. Just know that we love you guys. We're praying for you. Keep on keeping on. And, yeah, you can drop us a mail, faithmix@gmail.com. You can say hi to us there. Love you guys, and we will talk to you again sometime soon. All right, God bless you.